Hi, good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you here and say thank you to Walker for playing the prelude tonight. We appreciate that. And we're going to be singing now, so I trust you have your song sheet for this evening. And we're going to start with A Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And let's stand as we sing this. 272, The Solid Rock. Mr. Steve Lewis, if you would please to open us in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the safety that you've given us to come to church tonight. And dear Lord, we just pray for our service. We pray for our pastor that he brings forth the message. Just pray that you'll give him an understanding of your word and the rest of us here be attentive to your word. And Father, everything we do tonight in singing the songs of praise, giving personal testimonies. We're just so grateful for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And most of all, we're your children, just by the grace of God. And we pray now and commit this service to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to see you here tonight, those of you that are here in the building. Good to see your faces and to know that you're here with us tonight, and also welcome to those that are listening on the recording. We'd like to be able to see you, but we can't see you right now, of course, but at least you're joining with us in that way. And we'd like to get a cardboard cutout of you and put you in these empty pews that we've got, just like they're doing there with the Ohio State game. There, I happened to listen yesterday and heard they had 4,700, 4,200 cardboard cutouts there in the stand. You can actually buy those yourself. You can just use a picture and you can get one made. And so maybe those of you that are staying home, you could send in a cutout for us here. Or, you know, what we could do is we could have maybe a call-in testimony time with some of you that are staying at home. Of course, you'd have to be willing to do that, but you know, I think we could do it just even live here in the service, and we can do it. You know, I could give you a call, and you could give a little testimony, and I think we have something where I can connect via Bluetooth to our sound system on my phone, and we could actually have you here in the service. So maybe if some of you are willing to do that, we could do that for some of our services, just have you give a short testimony there. So that's an idea. Think about that. But tonight, we're having live testimonies, and so I hope that some of you are prepared to give a testimony tonight. We'll have a time for that in a few moments. Just a few events that are coming up. Wednesday night, we are meeting again at 6 p.m. for some outreach in our community. We do have a few more gospel packages to give out, so we're working on that. And Wednesday night, we're doing that. Then on Friday night, we want to invite all the cowboys and the cowgirls. We're going to have a roundup night. And again, for the farmers, that's not talking about the weed killer. You know, that's a Western theme anyway. And so you're welcome to come and dress up, all right? Get your cowboy hat, cowboy boots. This is for all ages. You're welcome to come. We will have a contest for the best dressed. I think it's for cowboy, cowgirl, both for kids and adults. So this is just open up to everybody, whoever wants to participate, and also some activities, some games, and food for Friday night. So trust that some of you be able to come. And then next Sunday, I don't want to see anybody sleeping in church next Sunday because you got that extra hour to catch up on your sleep. No, just kidding. You know, sometimes you listen better with your eyes closed, I know. But we do have that extra hour next week, so don't forget to set your clocks back, fall back an hour next Saturday. And then, of course, the important event that's coming up on November the 3rd is Lance Ray's birthday, and also the election that's coming up. I know some of you have voted already, and how many of you have already done that? Already voted? All right, great. So how many of you still need to do it? How many of you are going to wait until election day and do it in person? All right, I know you can do it in person even right now, but you're going to wait until that time. Good. All right. And then Sunday, November 22nd, we are planning our Thanksgiving service. That's a special time of thanks offered to the Lord by you. And we have a time to share our testimonies of thanks. It's always an encouraging time. So be thinking about that. And then what will be different this year, first of all, is the time for that. We're going to have our Thanksgiving service, our thanks service, at 5 p.m. And so that's a little bit of a change, but we're bumping that up to 5 p.m. And then afterwards, we're planning to have a dinner after that, that'll be served by the Pilgrims and the Indians. And so we'd like to have our young people dress up as either a pilgrim or an Indian, and we're going to have them hopefully serve that meal to some of you. And so we're going to have that after the service, and so we'll plan on that. And it's not going to be probably the typical turkey and dressing, because probably you're going to have that already later that week, but it'll be some type of meal served to you on a plate, and so we're planning on that after that service, so probably 6:30 or so. And then for other announcements here in the bulletin, again, we have these guidelines from the Ohio Department of Health. Morrow County Health Department has said that's all they're requiring of us as far as what the Ohio Department of Health has said for religious services. And so that's posted on the doors and on the bulletin board. And they do keep changing that. I've seen about three different documents where they keep revising it. But they do want us to wear masks. And they're asking us that. And so my suggestion is that we go ahead and follow that, those recommendations. And we also recognize there's exceptions for that mask order. Some that have health conditions that actually wearing the mask is a problematic for them. Children actually in that order, children under 10 are exempted from that. There's 16 of exemptions. So as I've said, decide what you think you ought to do and do that and show respect and love to others about it. Every week here, we've been trying to make sure that everyone has our church information. That includes the recordings of our services, the Sunday bulletin, the prayer sheet. And to do that, we have two lists. We have a list of people that get that by mail, where we send that out each week. And then we have that same information that's sent out by email. And, of course, we have a list of email addresses. And so there's those two different lists there. And I'll just say, please let me know what changes to that. If you say, you know, you just don't want to mess with a computer, you have one, but you just don't want to mess with it, that's fine. We'll send you a CD. And if you don't have a CD player, we'll try to get you a CD player. But that's how we're able to make those available by CD. You know, the 8-track tapes, we just don't have the ability to record on those anymore. But anyway. So if you have any changes or updates, say you got a new email address or you know somebody who did, and if you could just tell me that so we can keep that up to date, make sure that that's getting out to people in our church. And also, if anybody would like to be on those lists, you know, let me know, and we can make sure that they get those recordings. Our birthdays, we have Mr. Al Ray coming up on October 30th this week, so happy birthday to him. Also, he's not feeling well today, so pray that he would recover, but we're looking ahead to that. Couple other prayer requests. I'll just mention Tom Evans had surgery last week on his eye, his retina. He did come through that and is recovering. Ethan Cost had an injury this past week. He had to get a couple stitches in his head, but I think he's doing better. He was here this morning. Pray also for our country, just with the elections coming up. Also, the Supreme Court nomination is, I believe, to be voted upon in the Senate tomorrow, Amy Barrett. And so we'll pray about that. And Rob Frazier has mentioned to me that a friend of his passed away this morning. A man by the name of Larry Gregory passed away in his home this morning. So pray for that family. And also, it's great to have the Gospins back. They made it safely back from Colorado. Prayer for some of their family, the Henning family, another death there in that family. They were attending a funeral. So pray for that family here recently. And then also continue to pray for Dan Wiley's, one of the owners of Dan Wiley's company, Dave Metzger, still going through treatments. And then also remember Don Owen and Ed Jones. They're both dealing with some physical issues, their hips and backs, and so pray for them. And Shirley had also asked us to pray for issue with her legs that she's going through. Not sure exactly what it is, but just pray for Shirley. All right. So our gospel packages, we've got 60 left, it looks like, as I look out on the table here at the church. And so, you know, we're just challenging us to get those out before the election. So we basically have another week, and we want to try to give those out. So if you'd like to take some more, they're there, and just challenge you to do that. And so we're getting low. We started out with 700. And that was back in July, so we're now down to 60 here at the church. So that's a praise that we've been able to give those out. Also pray that the Lord would use those. And you know what that means, right? I think we're going to have to pack up some more. We're going to have another packing party here. Pack up some more gospel packages. But we'll see what we can do there. All right. Well, I think we'll open it up for testimonies here. Does anybody have a testimony, any praise, prayer request, anything you'd like to share tonight? Yes, Mr. Margaret.
Just praise the Lord that He allowed me to be able to share the gospel with the neighbor this week. And he's really needing some direction and guidance. And, his name is Matt. So I'm just thankful that the Lord has allowed me to have that time with him and to share some of the scriptures with him and read with him and pray with him. And, pray for Matt for his salvation.
All right. Praise for opportunity that Ron had to share the gospel with a neighbor named Matt. I pray for Matt, his salvation and spiritual need. All right, anyone else tonight? Yes, Mrs. Lewis.
I'd like to thank the Lord for my salvation first and take that for granted. And also I would like to thank God for, now that I'm retired, for all the years of safety that He provided for me and the children and the job that just very thankful for that. And thankful that He is our rock that we can lean upon each and every day.
So how many years was that you were driving the bus?
I was with the school for 31, but I drove for 24.
Okay. So 24 years of driving, 31 at the school. Amen. All right. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Yes, Pastor Gus.
Well, thank you for your prayers as we were traveling. We had a good trip. And just it's amazing the creation that God has given to us. We were able to travel up through the Rockies some while we were there, and were able to witness at a distance some of the devastation and the fires that are taking place there. And you know, I was thinking we were praying for those out in California and Oregon with the fires there earlier. I called my brother to ask him how things were going, and he said, "Well, the Lord sent his fire company out. They were inundated with rain, and so in the area over my brother was the fires were put out with the rain." When we left to Colorado, they were really praying for just for the Lord to intervene with their fires, and we got a picture from Miriam this afternoon that shows their roads are covered fairly heavy with snow, and so we would and they were going to get it much more up in the mountains, so we assume that the Lord is intervening there some there. So we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for His safety. We thank the Lord for His beauty. It's you know, they've got the aspens out there that turn yellow, and but they don't get anything like the color we get here in Ohio. We like Ohio. We like the rolling hills here. We're in a nice area here. It's flat out west of Ohio here, and then gets very hilly. But we thank the Lord for that. And then as we, you know, we think about the messages that pastors have been speaking here in Sunday school in the last days and the day of the Lord, we recognize that we believe we are living in those days very close to the coming to the Lord when He takes out His own, and you know, we're told to work while it is yet day. And we don't know how much time we have that the Lord will give us here, but we certainly those things are pressed upon us. And as I mentioned in the book of the men, that they're they're at the death of. One in the Henning family, there were over 100 National Guardsmen that came to that funeral, and they heard the gospel message that was clearly presented there, and even as we continue to pray for those here, that those that we witness to, we pray for those that are hearing the gospel, that while there's yet time, that they come to Christ.
Amen. Thank you. All right, anyone else tonight? Yes, Stan.
We're thankful for the Lord's safety this afternoon. We were doing an airplane ride today, and the cowling came open on the engine compartment door, so we had about 10 minutes in, we had to turn around and go back. So we're thankful we didn't die of COVID today.
So you were in the air, were you flying the plane?
Not me.
Walker was flying the plane?
I was the co-pilot.
The co-pilot, okay. Right. So, yeah, praise for safety. Did you get any video of that?
I have a picture.
A picture. Anyone else tonight? Any other testimonies? Yes.
Some of you have asked about my mom, and she's doing, she's getting her strength back from going through chemo in the spring and the summer. And a little bit this fall, and so I thank the Lord for bringing her through, and her hair's starting to grow just in time, I guess, for the colder months. And so she's been able to start back work a little bit, so just thankful for that answer for my family's life. And then also I'm just thankful for the job that the Lord gave me this year, and I wasn't looking for that, but he kind of put that in my lap, and then he's just thankful for his we're coming up on our first, the end of our first 9 weeks, so it's gone by quickly, and I've learned some things, but just thankful for the Lord helping me.
Right. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Anybody else? All right. We did have a letter from the Perez's. I wanted to read that, and just a report from their ministry. And it says, "Dear friends and brothers in Christ, we write you with hearts full of gratitude for who the Lord is and what He has done in these last months. Thank you for your continued prayers for our family and the ministry. I am very thankful for the health He has given to each of us, my wife, Otoniel and Hasiel, myself through this difficult time of the pandemic. I wanted to share with you how the events of the last months have affected both the ministry and the families we love so dearly, our brothers and sisters in Christ. First, let me share with you the positive side of the church. In March, when we were forced to close the church doors because of the pandemic, we started live streaming the services from our home. At the beginning, it was very awkward for me to be doing this online by ourselves. It was also hard for our church people to be isolated in their homes. However, we were encouraged to see that our church families were very much interested in continuing to be present each Sunday online. We were also surprised to see that many around the world were connecting to listen to the services. Families who were once with us here and had returned to their countries in the Salvador, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Venezuela were connecting on Sunday to listen. We were also excited when we saw our unsaved neighbors and friends from Ciudad Valles, Tonkian, and Saltillo, who would never step foot in church but would listen on their phones to hear the gospel. It was obvious through this time that God had a special plan. While we were shut down and isolated, my wife and I would go to each of our individual families' homes to have Bible study with them. We were able to unite once again for services in church from the end of May through the middle of August. On August 20th, extreme hard times hit our congregation as every one of our families, except for the Hermana Soledad and our family, was hit hard with COVID. Deborah was busy making soups for each of the families and delivering to their front porches. Every household was down with at least one in the home who was very critical. This was hard as pastor not to be able to be by their side in these critical times. We had to cancel services once again for another month until everybody was safe to return. Please pray for our brother Raudel. His wife Bartola passed away after 20 days in the hospital battling with COVID. Pray for their children, Victor, Noemi, Abigail, and grandchildren. We have confidence we will see her once again in heaven, but we miss her greatly as she was a large part of our church family. The pandemic has put a damper on many things. Before the pandemic, we were having monthly men's, women's, and teen meetings, as well as monthly dinner fellowship. Being unable to get together and with fear of the virus, all has come to a halt, distancing everyone. Sunday attendance has now lowered, as it's very easy just to stay at home and watch online. We covet your prayers for Fernando and Yolanda, who are still having lingering effects from the virus as their lungs have been weakened and they are unable to return to work. We also covet your prayers for our church people that they will once again be faithful every Sunday in the Lord's house. Pray that we may be soon able to carry on our monthly activities we had started. Deborah has been able to restart individual Bible studies with ladies and has also started a weekly class for the teens. Please pray for our teens who have been easily indoctrinated from school, social culture, etc. They have had many questions on deep topics that they are facing. Thank you for your prayers through these last months that have been very difficult. We know that God is in control of everything and that He is working in many ways. We ask of you to continue praying God will bring stability to each of our families and that many more may come to know Christ. We love you each greatly and appreciate your continual prayer support and your financial support, which we know is a sacrifice through these difficult times. Your co-workers in Christ, McKess and Deborah Perez. All right, well, let's take our song sheet again, and we'll go to our next song, number 224. I Know Whom I Have Believed. Let's all stand as we sing. 224, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Thank you.
Invite you to take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. We're continuing on in our series here in Joshua. Remember that Joshua, three major sections here in Joshua. The first part is the invasion of Canaan. Joshua was commissioned to invade the land of Canaan, to cross the Jordan. We read about that, chapters 1 through 5. And then the next section is the conquest of Canaan. There were three major campaigns that Joshua led Israel through. First, there was a central campaign into the land. Then they went down to the south. Then they went back up to the north to take the land there. And that took a period of time, took about 7 years for that campaign. And then last week, we started into this next major section of Joshua, and that is the division of the land, where Joshua, with the Lord's help, assigns to each tribe the section that the Lord appointed to them. And we read about that in chapters 13 through 21. And then there's a conclusion of the book in chapters 22 to 24. But we're in this section on the division of the land. And last week we looked at chapter 13 with the portion that was allotted to the eastern tribes. And on the song sheet, I gave you another map where you can kind of see the portions that were assigned. But we saw last week the portions that were assigned to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And remember, there was a history behind that. They had made special requests to Moses that they be given that land on the other side of the Jordan. They saw how good it was for their cattle. They had lots of cattle. They wanted that pasture land. And you remember Moses was very reluctant about that. He was just not sure that that was the best thing. And we read about that decision several times in the scriptures. And it's almost like that really was the second best for them. Moses allowed them to have that. But as we saw last week, we see later in Israel's history, those tribes were the first ones to be taken captive, even 10 or 20 years before the rest of the ones came. And there was no natural border for them, but they were allowed to take up those sections there on the east side of the Jordan. So we come here to chapter 14, and that takes us into the western allotments on the west side of the Jordan. And these tribes are now allotted. In verses 1 through 5, we have a review of the land that was already divided up. Many times, scriptures give us a review of what just happened. That's what we have in verses 1 through 5. That was done by Lot. And yet the Lord was controlling the whole process of these allotments, the division here. And then verse 6 takes us to the next tribe. It was their turn. And we read about a leader from the tribe of Judah. And we can see on your map the portion of the land that was allotted to them there in the southern part of Palestine. That's what was given to Judah. But there's something special about Judah's portion here that has to do with this main character, Caleb. Caleb was part of the tribe of Judah. And what we have here in the remainder of chapter 14 and then in chapter 15 as well, we have kind of a character study on Caleb. Caleb here steps forward and reminds Joshua about an assignment that God had already made concerning him 45 years earlier. Notice what Caleb says, what goes on here, beginning in Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. Thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. We see Caleb standing up here, and he's remembering something from the past. He remembers a promise. He steps forward, and he reminds Joshua about something that had already been determined many years before. There wasn't a need to go through the casting of the lots to decide what Judah needed in this particular case, because God had already made a promise to Caleb about his inheritance in the land. And so he remembers that with Joshua. And notice the circumstances of that promise that are given to us in verses 6 through 9. I'm reminded of the fact that Caleb was one of the spies that Moses had sent into the land 45 years earlier now. And who was the other spy that went with Caleb? Well, Joshua was one, and then there were 10 more. There were 12 spies that Moses had sent in. And we have kind of a summary of the report that was brought back in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. We have the record of the cowardly words of the 10 spies, the 10 bad spies. 10 were bad and 2 were good, so the song goes. And we could go back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 and read about all of the discouraging words that those 10 spies gave and how the giants were there and we were as grasshoppers in their sight. And it was just Caleb and Joshua who spoke up and said, no, the Lord is with us. He'll help us. And so Caleb remembers the circumstance of that. And we could also go back and remember that they did that at great cost to themselves. You know, did the people say, yeah, that's right, Caleb and Joshua, that's right. Way to go. Have a great attitude. Thanks for that, those encouraging words. No, that's not what they did. Numbers 14, it tells us they were going to stone Caleb and Joshua. They were going to kill them. Why? Because they believed God. And of course, that did not happen. It was that unbelieving generation that was killed in the wilderness. It did not survive those 40 years, but Caleb and Joshua were the ones that God preserved. But they believed God. They believed that God was greater than the biggest problems that they saw. And verse 8, we have this description of Caleb, which occurs, I think, 6 times total in Scripture. Caleb is described this way, verse 8. But I wholly followed the Lord. And actually, it comes again in verse 9. Thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then verse 14. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That word, one Hebrew word, translated wholly followed, and it has the idea of to fill up, to complete, to satisfy. It's the idea that the plan of God was the cup, you know, the water bottle, for example. And what Caleb did was he put himself, all of himself, into God's plan. He filled up God's plan with his entire being. He wholly followed the Lord. He filled up God and his plan. And I want to just give you, I think, another four lessons tonight as we look at Caleb. But as we look back on the circumstances of Caleb's life 45 years earlier, we are reminded that we need to have the courage to trust God against the majority. Have the courage to trust God against the majority. That's the first lesson tonight. You know, it's great to see Caleb and Joshua and remember their stand that they took for the Lord. It was a stand that came from their faith in God. And it wasn't just that they wanted to do what Moses wanted them to do. It wasn't just that they liked to be disagreeable, and so they thought, you know what, we're going to say the very opposite of what the majority is going to say. That wasn't it. The reason that they had the courage to take that stand was because they believed that the Lord could help them. The Lord had promised them this land. And yes, it was very difficult, but they believed that God could give this land to them. And God rewarded them. God rewarded Caleb specifically by promising him a portion of the land. And then we see the waiting on this promise here. Notice verse 10, what Caleb says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." You know, imagine how Caleb must have felt as the years went by. He knows he's getting older. He has gone through that 40 years of wilderness wandering. What is he seeing all around him? He's seeing people die. People that he knows, everybody in fact, they're dying. And he knows what God has promised him. And he's seeing things that happen all around him. Is God going to fulfill this promise? Is God going to do it? But he recognized here, he gives the credit to God here. He says, "The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. There was something to that, because the Lord allowed nearly everybody else to die. But he kept Caleb alive. It kept him strong. I'm sure he wondered whether he was going to have the strength to go in and to clear out the land from the giants there. He's getting to be older. He's in his 80s now. He's 85 right now. And I wonder, as he approached that age, if he thought, you know, I don't think I can do it. But he knew that God had promised that land, and he was waiting. Here's a second lesson we can learn from that. We need to learn how to wait faithfully on the Lord. Learn how to wait faithfully on the Lord. You know, nobody likes waiting a long time. I read about a man who was on hold with an airline company, and he needed to call and confirm his flight reservations. And he called the airline company at 7:22 p.m. on Wednesday to confirm his arrangements, and he remained on hold until 11:01 a.m. the next day, while a recorded voice said an agent would speak to him as soon as possible. And he finally hung up after that, waited all night long on hold. We don't like to wait on hold, even for a half an hour, 45 minutes, waiting. Caleb waited 45 years. He waited 45 years. That seems like a long time. That's 4.5 decades. You know, we're tempted to give up after a year goes by and we don't see anything happen, or even less. But so many times in the scripture, this being one example, we see the Lord's timing and our need to wait on the Lord and the need to be faithful over the long haul. Caleb probably wondered whether he'd ever see God's promise. But he left that up to God, and now he gets to this point, and he gives God the credit for keeping him thus far. It's so easy for us to give up. We look around and we want to see results. We want to see instantaneous things happen and instant results for the things that we do. But oftentimes, the Lord has us wait. And that doesn't mean the Lord isn't doing anything. But he makes us wait, and we need to wait faithfully for him. We need to have the long view in mind and know that God will keep his promises. And then we come to the claim. Caleb claims what was promised here in verse 12. And notice the boldness of that claim. He says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Notice his boldness. His boldness in light of the difficulty of it. This was a section of land that the Lord had given to him, had promised to him, and this wasn't an easy task. This is where the Anakim were. Remember, those were the giants. You remember, those were the people that struck fear in the hearts of the 10 spies. That's the very place that, one of the reasons why the spies said, no, we can't do it. They're giants. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. And now Caleb is ready to claim what was promised to him, this land, Hebron, where there were giants. His boldness in light of that difficulty. It was a challenge for Caleb. And then we also have to notice his boldness in light of his age. He's 85. He's 85. At his age, he could have just asked for a nice, comfortable place, all on one level. And you know, not a mountain. Somewhere where he could just kind of live out his days in peace. But here at his age, he's asking for this difficult place, what God had promised him. He asked for something that even a young man probably would back away from. We see the boldness of his claim. And then notice the confidence, most of all, in his claim. You know, Caleb, as he claimed this part that God had promised him, part of the land, Caleb's confidence was not in himself. You know, he wasn't saying, "Step aside, everyone. Let's have Caleb show you how this is done. Give me this mountain." No, that wasn't his confidence there. He wasn't saying, "You know what, tribe of Judah, we are strong. We can do this." That wasn't his confidence either. What was his confidence? Verse 12 again, at the end. "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." His confidence was that God would be with him and help him. That's what he was trusting in. He was trusting in the presence of God to be with him. And so that brings us to a third lesson here from Caleb's claim, and that is this: be ready to serve the Lord anytime, trusting his promises, his power, and his presence. Be ready to serve the Lord anytime, trusting his promises, his power, and his presence. You know, I believe that's a lesson that is for all ages. That's a lesson that's for the young and for the old. Be ready to serve the Lord anytime, trusting his promises, his power, and his presence. You know, it may not be a mountain type of thing that the Lord wants for you to do. It may just be another day of regular responsibilities, and you're willing to do what God wants you to do, trusting that the Lord is with you, the Lord's able to help you, and the promises that the Lord has given us. Read a story from Corrie Ten Boom, who, of course, is the lady who wrote The Hiding Place. Maybe some of you have seen the film version of that, who tells about her family's experience, I think it's in Denmark, of hiding the Jews during World War II from the Nazis, sending them out. And then Corrie, of course, was in the prison camps, the Nazi prison camps. And then she was miraculously released, almost randomly, of course, not randomly. And she went on to live out her days. But she tells a story of something that happened in Copenhagen when she was 80 years old. She went around and spoke in various places about her experiences. And on one particular occasion, she spoke from Romans 12, 1, about presenting your body, a living sacrifice. And after church, there were two nurses that invited her to their her apartment for lunch. And Corrie went with them, accepting the invitation, only to find out that they lived on the 10th floor of an apartment building. And the elevator was not working. And so she was going to have to climb 10 stories to go and have lunch there. And she writes that the task of mounting those stairs was almost more than she could stand. She wondered if she might die en route. Perhaps I'm leaving earth to go to heaven, she complained to herself. Finally, arriving in the apartment, Corrie found the parents of one of the girls waiting there, waiting to be saved. And both gloriously received Christ as their Savior. On her way down the steps, Corrie said, "Thank you, Lord, for making me walk up all these steps. And next time, Lord, help Corrie Ten Boom to listen to her own sermon about being willing to go anywhere you tell me to go, even up 10 flights of stairs." Now, it may not be a mountain that the Lord has for you to take, maybe 10 flights of stairs. And you think, why, Lord, do I have to do this? Or maybe some other difficult and wearisome task. And you just think, do I have to do this? Am I going to be able to do this? Just think of Caleb at this point in his life. He's 85. And he's still willing to do what God wants him to do. Be willing to do what God wants you to do. Trusting in God's presence, God's power, God's promises. It's not our own skill or ability, no matter how old or young we are. The fact of the matter is that when we compare ourselves with Caleb, I think we have even more confidence than Caleb had. We can have. Why? You know, notice how Caleb is stating this. He says, you know, if it be, the Lord will be with me. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out. You know, as we come as New Testament Christians, we have to remember that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in a way that Caleb was just not certain about. How much more certain are we today that the Lord is with us? His presence is with us. And yet, oftentimes, our readiness is a lot less than what we see here from Caleb. See a challenge here to step forward and be willing to do what God wants to do with us. And then notice here that Caleb receives what was promised. He receives this section, verses 13 through 15. Caleb gives it to him, Hebron. And the reason, because he wholly followed the Lord, again, verse 14. And then after that, we come to chapter 15, and we have a listing of all the cities that are given to Judah. You remember, this section is kind of like a title deed. You know, you don't really think of getting out your title documents to read for your devotions, but that's kind of what this is like. the legal deed that God assigned these areas, these borders to the land of Judah. And in the midst of this, we see a description of Caleb getting to work. Notice in chapter 15, verse 13, "And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer." See Caleb getting to work. Caleb himself drives out three of these sons of Anak, these giants. And then we have Caleb enlisting the help of others. Notice in verse 16, Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him I will give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldst thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the neither springs." Caleb enlists others for help. You know, he comes up with this idea to get his daughter married off or something like that. And he says, anybody volunteer to take this city here, Kirjath-Sefer, I'll give you my daughter as a wife. What do you think about that? Does that sound good, girls? You know, maybe somebody capturing the city, you know, give the daughter as a wife. Well, think about the kind of person that would be willing to do that, you know, in Caleb's day. The kind of man that would be willing to take on a challenge like that would have to be a man like Caleb. A man who actually believed that God would help and give the victory there to go in and take that city. And so must have said something about that man's character for Caleb to come up with that idea. And so Othniel steps forward. Othniel must have been a man like that. And we know something about Othniel as well from the book of Judges. He becomes a leader, a judge of the land of Israel. God uses him. So he must have been a man of good character. Here's a last lesson that we can learn from that. Be an example for others to follow. Be an example for others to follow. We see Caleb getting busy. He's taking on this challenge himself. And then we see him rubbing off on others. We've got his future son-in-law who does something just like Caleb does. And his daughter is also inspired to take part of the land. Be an example for others to follow. Who is watching you? Who is watching you? Your children? Your grandchildren? The people in this church? Your neighbors? Your friends? Co-workers? Even at age 85, Caleb had not lost his chance to be an influence on others, to be an example for others to follow. So we see here Caleb, a man in the scripture who's a man who wholly followed the Lord. He poured himself into God's plan. He was fully on board, wholly followed the Lord. And I trust that the Lord will help us to be just like that. We all have room for improvement, no matter what our status in life is. But may we all be people who trust the Lord enough to wholly follow Him and be fully committed to Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of this man, Caleb, his faith in You over this long period of time. Thank You for the promises You gave to him and the fulfillment of those promises that we see. And Lord, we're thankful tonight for Your presence with us. We thank You that the Holy Spirit indwells us as Christians. And we pray that You would give us the confidence in your presence to be able to be willing to do what you would have us to do. Whether it be something very challenging or something simple, everyday responsibility, we ask that you would give us the grace that we need to trust you and to follow you, to pour ourselves into the plan that you have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.